now, it's time for the most comprehensive look at Missouri Valley Conference basketball. The MVC Hoops Show, sponsored by Complete Nutrition. Here are your hosts, Tim Kruger and Chris Sorensen.
Welcome to the MVC Hoops Show, sponsored by Complete Nutrition. I am Tim Kruger, along with me, Chris Sorensen. Chris, how are you?
I'm great, Tim. Thanks.
All right, our last show of the season, Chris.
It's amazing how quickly the season passes.
It really is. It's like August, and you're like, the basketball season's never going to get
right.
here. And then once you get into it, it's so busy. There's two, sometimes three games a week. You're whipping through it. You're getting into a routine once conference goes, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, boom, boom, boom. Before you know it, it's over.
And this season was really cool because, I mean, it was a roller coaster in a lot of ways. You know, the top team changed every week or something, you know, and it was just fun. There was a lot of unexpected turns and twists. And, you know, St. Louis, as always, is a great time and some great basketball.
Yeah, it wasn't like 2 weeks with the season left, we knew who the one seed was
right.
or the two seed or any of that. So,
down to the wire.
Yeah, it was great. All right, on the show today, we're going to have a couple of the beat writers here in the Valley talk about the MVC tournament and other goings-on. First up here in a little while, we're going to have Todd Golden of the Terre Haute Trib Star. He'll talk about the tournament in general, talk about what his surprises were in the tournament, and then look ahead to next year a little bit. Later on in the show, we're going to have Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register and some interesting news out of Des Moines this week. Mark Phelps was let go as head coach of the Drake Bulldogs, and so we'll talk with Mark about the reasons why Coach Phelps will let go and also who he thinks maybe are some candidates to come into the job.
Right. That was not a surprise, I don't think, for a lot of people. I know the Drake fans had been kind of clamoring for that, but I thought he might get another year, but his tenure is done.
Especially since the athletic director was the one who hired him when she came aboard as athletic director. And I had spoken to Mark about that down in St. Louis, and he said, well, it's a possibility. So,
yeah.
All right, let's look back on the tournament where the Creighton Blue Jays not only won their regular season title, but also the MVC tourney.
In that championship game, you know, we did a live show for those who maybe missed it. You know, Tim and I did a show from the fan hangout in St. Louis on Friday night, so following the conclusion of the quarterfinal games.
You can check it out.
Again, that is posted on the blog, and so we'll make sure you can find that. But you know, we kind of previewed the Saturday games and then, of course, the championship on Sunday. And, I mean, it was just a fascinating set of games, and the championship game in particular, how it swung to Creighton, and it seemed like it was over, and we can talk about CBS and their decision. But then, Wichita came flying back and had a shot at the end. It was just great theater.
It was, and I think that last game, to at least get it down to a last shot, because up until then, I guess Evansville and Indiana State was a close one.
Right.
Other than that, were there really any buzzer? There really weren't any buzzer beaters
The UNI-Illinois State game was very competitive. It was a fun game to watch.
That was a very fun game to watch. Illinois State kind of pulled away at the end.
It was close. There was some tension, I guess. But otherwise, most of the games kind of went the way you would expect them to. But the championship game, you know, if this is Creighton's last game in the Missouri Valley Conference, and we can talk about that later, too, if we get to it. I mean, this was the way it kind of had to be, right? Creighton, Wichita State for all the marbles.
And Creighton had really dominated every time they've gotten the final. I think it's six in a row now or seven.
Oh, I think it's more than that even.
When they've gotten the final, they've won.
Right.
And they just seem to win. And I was talking with Tom Chattel, the columnist of the Omaha World Herald, who said, you know, I keep going to those games. I'm expecting one of these games Creighton's going to lose. And he goes, I kind of thought maybe this was the day, but it didn't happen again that Creighton hung on and won that game.
It would have been a passing of the torch, so to speak, should Wichita State have won, because as we had in a trivia question earlier this season, Wichita State has never won Arch Madness, whereas Creighton, I think, has won now 10 or 12. I mean, they've won a disproportionate number of the 20-some that have been played in St. Louis. And to your point, and when they get into that championship game, Creighton doesn't lose. So credit to them.
I will say this. I would make them huge odds-on favorites to win next year, and that's Wichita State.
Well, but they lose four starters.
Coach Marshall loses starters every year, and he just loads back up again.
No, I know.
And especially with Ron Baker coming back. I mean, Ron Baker played in the tournament for the first time since early in the year. And you could see he's a difference maker on that team.
And Fred VanVleet, I really like his game.
Yes, he's a really nice-looking player.
I think he's going to be good. But, you know, like Indiana State doesn't graduate anybody.
No.
So Indiana State will return everybody. Northern Iowa will be good. Illinois State's going to lose, you know, the vast majority of their scoring with those couple guys. And Creighton loses some key personnel. And the Doug McDermott stay-or-go question, I guess we'll find out answers to in the next month or so.
Yeah, I still, though, with VanVleet, Early, Baker, they have Tressel.
Wessel,
I'm sorry, who did not play. He's a fine player. So that's four guys right there. Now, they're going to have to replace some guys inside. But we've been saying that 3 years in a row, and every year they just reload inside and have a very, very good inside game.
Right. I think Wichita State, I haven't started penciling out. That should be my homework project for tonight, to kind of see 1 through 10, where are we going to be, or 1 through 9, or 1 through 9 plus 1, who knows.
And I think we saw in that first game of the tournament, not the first round, it would be the second round, the quarterfinals.
Missouri State?
Marcus.
I knew where you were going.
Did he put on a performance in those last few minutes? He just kept them in the game all by himself.
I think you have a man crush on Marcus Marshall. Every time we talk about him,
light up. He was just like, a couple of those shots he made were out of this world.
Right, and Gavin Thurman's a great freshman. You know, their future is obviously bright down in Springfield.
So, but it was, you know, like I said, that Evansville, Indiana State wasn't a pretty game, but it was very, very competitive, and it went right down to the wire and kind of a controversial ending, if you will. It wasn't really controversial, but I mean, it was
ESPN's top number one highlight of the night. Did you see that?
No,
it
wasn't
on their top 10. The block shot by Devontae Brown of the Ned Cox layup was the highlight of the night on SportsCenter. Yeah, a great ending to a game. The first 39 and change were not very exciting, but the last minute was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. It was. So we'll look ahead to the postseason, but it looks like Creighton and Wichita State will be in the NCAA tournament. Creighton obviously is in as the automatic bid, but it does look like Wichita State will be in. Nothing has really moved that much on the bubble, so it looks like Wichita State is safe.
I think they'll be in.
I would think the NIT is going to be interesting, though, mm-hmm. because in these very lower end of the conferences, a lot of the regular season champions have lost.
And they
get an automatic bid in the NIT. I believe someone said the other day it was 8 or so have already been taken up.
Ooh.
So that only leaves 24 bids left. And you start going down some of the major conferences and start pulling a team or two here out of there, they get eaten up very quickly. Now, I think the Valley would have three teams that would be eligible, Northern Iowa, Illinois State, and Indiana State,
right?
I think those three would be eligible for, and possibly Evansville. But I don't think Northern Iowa's probably, and Illinois State, and for that matter, well, obviously Indiana State, we're not that far out of the bubble at one time. So I think maybe those teams are certainly in line for NIT bids, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. All right, as we mentioned, in a little while here, we're going to have Todd Golden of the Terre Haute Trib Star on to talk about their fine beat writer, to talk about the Valley Tournament and what lies ahead for the Valley here on the MVC Hoop Show, sponsored by Complete Nutrition. Yeah, this is Tim Krueger with Chris Sorensen. And first of all, this is our last show, so we want to give a big, big thank out to our sponsor, Complete Nutrition.
Yeah, Tim, you know, when we decided that we wanted to put the show on, Complete Nutrition was really helpful, and we do appreciate their willingness to sponsor the show, take a little bit of a risk with a couple of guys. And so we've encouraged our listeners all year long to visit CompleteNutrition.com to find a store in their area. There are Complete Nutritions in almost all the Valley cities now, and they're opening up more every day. So we certainly can attest to the benefits of the products. Tim and I have both used them through the duration of the conference season. Been great, give us a lot of energy. I got the protein drinks, and I'm on the Man Core, which has been, you really can tell a difference in the morning when you wake up how much energy I have. So we'd certainly encourage our listeners to drop into a store and check it out.
And none of that, when you go into the store, you're going to just unbelievable customer service.
Yeah, the professional consultants are great. And like I expressed to somebody when I was talking to him about the products, and I said, oh, you should just go in and just talk to somebody. You know, if you have some nutritional or health need, you know, these guys are experts. They're trained in the different products. And so, you know, no risk.
Absolutely.
Risk.
And it's not just weight loss.
Oh, absolutely not.
The wide variety of things that can help you look, feel, perform better every day. So as Chris said, make sure you check them out. Go into one of their stores or go onto the web, at CompleteNutrition.com and check them out. Find a store near you. All right, welcome back to the NBC Hoop Show, sponsored by Complete Nutrition. And we're privileged to join us now is Todd Golden of the Terre Haute Trip Star. Todd, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Great.
Very good, Todd, and thanks for joining us, as I said. And, you know, I'd just love to hear your overall impressions of the Valley Tournament.
I thought it was an entertaining tournament. I thought the semifinal games were a little rough, especially from Indiana State's perspective. But I think the two best teams shine through, and I would love to have watched the end of the championship game. Unfortunately, that was not an option for me here in Terre Haute. We were one of the markets wiped out by CBS, so heard it was great, you know, but I didn't get to see it.
That was really shocking when I heard that. What are your thoughts on that, Todd?
Well, I just think it's ridiculous. I think it's unfortunate. You know, here in Indiana, you know, at the very least, you know, if you want to make a counter argument the other way, it was Indiana playing. I still think it's nonsense to knock out the last 4 minutes of a game for the first 4 minutes of another, regardless of what market it's in. It's a blow for the Valley, and you know, it's something that Doug Elgin needs to address in the offseason. The CBS Sunday championship game is valuable. I've personally talked to recruits that have been exposed to the Valley that way, so it's, you don't want to completely blow it off, but if that's the price you have to pay, I'm not sure that's a price worth paying, and maybe the Valley needs to have some discussions about that.
Well, what I don't understand is, and maybe CBS is just too new into this, but for instance, on ESPN, they'll move it to ESPN News, you know, ESPN2, whatever,
sure
CBS has that sports channel, and they could easily have moved the beginning of the Indiana game over there.
The only thing I'm not sure about in that is what they were airing at the time.
Right.
They were airing a live game on CBS Sports, and that's possible given that they air Atlantic 10 and Mountain West and conferences like that. That might not have been an option for CBS. And, of course, it was not preempted elsewhere in the Valley or elsewhere in the country, for that matter.
Right.
It just happened to be in what they deemed to be Big Ten states. What I don't understand about it is how Iowa's TV markets were able to keep it, given that they were – Iowa Big Ten, you know, Des Moines is considered to be a Big Ten market. Cedar Rapids, I believe the game stayed on there, and that's a Big Ten market. I don't understand how those were able to keep it, and the ones in Illinois and Indiana worked. That's what I've never had adequately answered for me, but be that as it may, it was very unfortunate for the Valley fans and in the four markets that were affected, or the four schools that were affected by it.
Well, no doubt you missed a good final couple minutes there, Todd. To the games themselves, whether good or bad, you know, was there any team that really surprised you with their performance this last weekend?
Not really. I think it all went pretty chalk. I mean, I thought, you know, Illinois State, I think it surprised me how uncompetitive maybe they, I know they made a run and made it close at halftime in their semifinal against Wichita State, but I thought they'd have a little bit more fight than that. That was a game they were kind of had circled on the calendar. A lot of people were anticipating and it just never came off. Wichita State really, really controlled that game. Aside from that, I wasn't really surprised by anybody one way or the other, bad or good. The play-in games were, you know, I those weren't the two teams I would have picked, but it didn't surprise me that Missouri State and Drake won. But, the games were pretty competitive, which is what I expected, and it pretty much turned out as I thought it might.
Hey, Todd, let's...
Which was a good tournament. That was a good thing. I mean, it was a good tournament.
Yeah, it was. It was. And I think what made it better was, of course, the ending of the Wichita State-Creighton game with Wichita coming back. I mean, that was getting to be a 10, 12-point game there for most of the second half, and then the nice run by Wichita made it close at the end.
I'll take your word for it.
You know, let's take a look at some postseason. You know, let's start with the two Valley teams that look like the NCAA teams. Obviously, Creighton's in, but Wichita State also looks in. How do you like their chances in the NCAA tournament?
Well, you know, as you guys well know, it all depends on matchups, I think. And in particular, that's true for Creighton. I think Creighton can, you know, I think their path is, you know, if they get a team that can really lock them down and and has a really strong inside game. I think they're gonna struggle a little bit. They can counteract that with their shooting, which they certainly did, especially against Indiana State in the tournament. And I think that's less of an issue for Wichita State, but that's always the deal going into the tournament. Now, when Indiana State went in 2 years ago, they drew Syracuse, and that was a bad matchup for Indiana State. Syracuse was just had a loaded front line. And so I think that's always the key when you go into the tournament. I think both teams are capable of winning one or two games, in particular Creighton, if they do get the right matchup pass. They certainly have the talent to go to the Sweet 16. I wouldn't expect them to go beyond that point, but for either one of them to advance and win a game or two would be something that I think both of them are capable of.
And Todd, I saw you had commented that you thought the Indiana State-Evansville game was an NIT elimination game at one point. Do you think the Sycamores will be playing in the NIT? Do you see any other Valley teams in that tournament?
I think they have a good shot. What I didn't know at that time was how many of the one-bid regular season champs would lose in their own tournaments, which has happened. So
right.
I think they're very much on the bubble. I think judging by what we know, based on what some of the other schools have done, Bradley's already not only announced that they're in the CIT, they've announced their opponent. Evansville today announced that they're selling tickets. They're hoping to get in the NIT. I don't think they're going to. But the fact that they're selling tickets for the CBI or CIT is a sign that I think they feel they're going to be in one of those two. Indiana State has not made any announcements to that degree, so that tells me that maybe they're cautiously optimistic that they're going to get in. They have not returned to practice yet, so they returned to practice on Friday. As of this time, they have not set any kind of ticket plan or anything like that. They are in the CBI if they're not going to be in the NIT. So I think they have a shot. I think Northern Iowa has a good shot to get in the NIT as well. I think the Valley should have two teams in the NIT. Certainly the league has performed to the level that they should.
What do you think about Illinois State?
I that's a good question. I mean, they're kind of the quintessential bubble team for that, too. I don't know if they've done enough to make the NIT, though. They finished relatively strong, but I don't know. Do they have that marquee win, or do they have that RPI to get into the NIT? Not sure. I mean, I think their early season struggles when they went 0-6 is going to come back to haunt them a little bit, but sure. Certainly they have the talent to play the NIT.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Yeah,
no. Whether they actually get in or not, I'm not sold.
No question. We're talking with Todd Golden of the Terre Haute Tribune-Star. Hey, Todd, we want to just touch on this briefly. A lot of talk, obviously, in St. Louis about the possible move of Creighton to the Big East. Your thoughts on Creighton's move, and who do you think might be a good replacement if they leave?
Well, I think, obviously, Creighton has to make that move if they're offered. I think they're going to be offered. When they leave is seems to be the sticking point at this point. As far as who replaces them, a lot of it you have to read the kind of Valley politics of it. You know, it seems like the private schools would prefer to have a private school in if you read the tea leaves. Given that, what I think the Valley needs to do is to not wait for Creighton and make a move regardless. I mean, if Creighton's in the league for another year, I still think they need to try to grow the league and, not wait around for them to go to make a move. Given that, I think I'd go after, I guess Belmont is an attractive private school candidate. They're probably more stable than Oral Roberts, who there's significant questions about the stability of that university itself, not necessarily their athletics. But, they've had financial issues with Oral Roberts. Otherwise, they'd be a decent fit. From a public school standpoint, I wouldn't mind seeing them go after Milwaukee. I think they spend on basketball similar to, say, some of the other public schools do in the Valley. And it would add a market. And if they had to add another, then maybe they should go after Loyola in Chicago, but I'm not sold on that. The bottom line is there's not a replacement for Creighton that equals what Creighton brings to the league. So hopefully fans in the league are coming around to that. It's not an easy thing to accept, but the bottom line, there are no Creightons out there to replace with them, because I don't think Dayton's going to be available either. So it's going to take some creativity, but I think, I think the league will do their due diligence and hopefully add teams that make the league able to move forward.
Tim and I were speaking here in the earlier segment about next season, kind of already starting to forecast. And I commented that, you know, Indiana State basically returns everybody. You know, he likes Wichita State. We certainly see the upside of Missouri State. You know, if you were, you know, looking into your crystal ball, who do you think the favorites are in the league next year, Todd?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that it's Wichita State and Indiana State. I think they're, you know, without knowing what Creighton's going to do, I think they're, if Creighton is out, I think they're a solid 1-2. I think there's question marks over most of the other programs. I think Missouri State will certainly be better. They obviously played young this year, but whether they're ready to make that leap from play-in to league contention, I think that's probably a year after that when that may come. But I think Southern Illinois will get better, but again, I don't know if they're ready to contend for the league at that point. Past that, you got a lot of teams that are kind of either a lot of guys leave or they're kind of stuck in a little bit of a transitional period. So I think the league itself is going to be a little bit weaker next year. Even if Creighton does come back, I think it'll be a little bit weaker. So we'll see. I think the Shockers would probably be my pick for number one and probably Indiana State too. And after that, throw a dart at a wall. I'm not really sure who I'd pick after that, but should be interesting.
You touched briefly on the follow-up question I have for you, and we'll get you out of here on this. If Creighton does return to the Valley next year, and if McDermott does return to Creighton, I mean, do you think they would be the favorite, or do you think it would still be Wichita State or Indiana State?
I still think it would be the Shockers. I think it would be. I would like to see it happen because I'd like to see how Doug would play without Echenique in the middle. And I know Will Artino has done a nice job, and I don't think there's going to be a massive fall off in the middle for Creighton because he's done a serviceable job off the bench. But you know, Gregory takes away a lot of attention from Doug. In terms of what he can do in the paint, of course, Doug does plenty of his own damage out on the perimeter, and that won't change. But, you know, given that, Creighton certainly with McDermott would be up there in that Indiana State, Wichita realm where I put him. I'm not sure. I still think I might go with the Shockers at number one. I think they're going to be pretty good next year.
Todd, thanks so much for joining us, not only on this show, but throughout the whole season. We really appreciate it. Thanks a lot, and we look forward to next year.
Great. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, Todd. That's Todd Golden of the Terre Haute Trip Star. All right, up next, more of the show. This is the MVC Hoop Show, sponsored by Complete Nutrition. Welcome back to the NBC Hoop Show, sponsored by Complete Nutrition. Tim Kruger, along with Chris Sorensen. Yeah, it was interesting talking to Todd just about the NIT. I'm thinking about Illinois State, and we kind of ran out of time talking about them. But, I mean, they're a team I would love to see in the NIT because I think they could go a long ways, especially if they played like they did, for instance, the first half against UNI, for an example.
When they are playing well, yes.
Yeah.
When they don't make a field goal for the first 12 minutes of a game like their semifinal game against Wichita State, they don't look so good.
Well, I think we commented on that, and so did several other people in St. Louis. I said, well, we see how they went 1-7 games in a row. We also see how they went 0-6.
Right. Yeah, really a strange team and hard to get a good feel for what you were going to get on a nightly basis with the Redbirds this year. And next year will be, you know, they lose, boy, Carmichael and Brown, they lose their guns.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's going to be...
Coach Miller's got a lot of work for next year.
Yeah. But like Todd said, it was an interesting tournament. I think it was not as many close games. I mean, like I said, just the Evansville game was the only one that was really Evansville and the State came down the last shot, and of course Wichita Creighton did.
Well, yeah,
eventually after Creighton was ahead a little bit, but that was a very intense game. So
yeah, and I really appreciate those kids who are mopping up the floor every 2 seconds during every commercial break. That was the most irritating thing, trying to, you know, get in the flow of that game, and they'd have to stop to get these little kids on the floor mopping up the condensation. That was stupid.
All right, well, in a little bit we're going to bring on Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register to talk about the firing of Mark Phelps over at Drake and talk about other Valley issues. So we'll do that in a minute. But before we do, just another word for Complete Nutrition. Again, thank you so much to Complete Nutrition for their wonderful sponsorship of this show. And we've urged you all year, and make sure you do. Get out to Complete Nutrition. Check out all the great products they have. Get one of their professional consultants to help you find the product that fits your need.
Yeah, Tim and I have both used the products, and we can attest to the benefits that we've received from them. I've taken the ManCore now for, well, it's been, what, 6-8 weeks probably.
Right.
You know, it's good. It's good.
You're looking good, Chris.
Well, Tim, thanks. I appreciate that. You know, there's several different products that make up the ManCore. There's a fat burner. There's something for muscle tone. There's protein drinks. There's a spray at night to help with sleep. So I've really been pleased with the product. I would certainly encourage other people to take a look. And if you do visit CompleteNutrition.com, find a store near you and check them out.
I love how you mentioned the protein drink, but I do that in the mornings, and it just gets my day off to a great start.
I got
it feels
the chocolate.
So good.
What flavor?
I got
you
the
get?
Strawberry.
No, I got the chocolate.
I'm a strawberry guy.
I like chocolate.
So it was. It's great every morning. I just love it.
Yep.
So as Chris said, go to CompleteNutrition.com and check them all out, and check all their products out, and check the store nearest you, and go in and visit one of those professional consultants to help you look feel better every day.
Welcome back to the MVC Hoop Show, sponsored by Complete Nutrition. Here again are your hosts, Tim Krueger and Chris Sorensen.
All right, welcome back to the MVC Hoop Show, sponsored by Complete Nutrition. And now joining us is Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, Mark, some exciting things happening in Des Moines this week. Mark Phelps was fired as head coach of the Drake Bulldogs. I know we had talked in St. Louis. You said that, you know, it could possibly happen. How big a surprise was this to you?
I'd say it's a mild surprise. Obviously, nobody knew exactly what direction they were going to go. But certainly when I talked to him, he acted like he expected to be back in the immediate aftermath of that loss to Creighton last week. And the athletic director was kind of non-committal. She saw it was too early to talk about, but she's always really been in his corner. She hired him. It was actually her first big hire here was Mark Phelps 5 years ago. So I kind of thought that he might survive one more year, but when the news came out this week, obviously that was not a shock to anybody.
Hey, Mark, you mentioned the athletic director, Sandy Hatfield Club. I wonder, is there an undercurrent at all of negativity toward her? I mean, this was her hire. I guess just what's kind of the feeling about her going forward as Drake's AD?
Yeah, I think undercurrent is a good way to put it. I think there is some of that out there, some feeling that she really, you know, botched this hire from the beginning. And, of course, this is coming right on the heels of the Keno Davis year, and she inherited him of the Davises. So the feeling was that was like the one big hire you have to make at Drake as men's basketball coach, and she didn't get that right. So I would say certainly a little more pressure to get the successor correct and get somebody in here that can be successful. I think she's very well liked in the Drake community. She, you know, she does a great job with the relay. She's a great ambassador. She's very outspoken about the need for the total student athlete experience and academics and all that. So she says all the right things. She's a pretty good fundraiser. So I think she's popular within the administration for sure, but there are some fans who kind of wonder about, you know, her lack of basketball expertise and what role that played in the hire of Mark Phelps.
Mark, obviously not winning games is usually the reason why a coach gets let go. But more specifically, what do you think were the issues at Drake? Why Mark Phelps did not succeed there?
You know, that's a good question because he did seem to bring in the right players. I mean, for Drake, he got some, you know, the first two recruiting classes he had were considered to be the best in the Valley for those years by the people that, you know, I guess ranked those things. So he brought in some decent players, and it just never materialized on the court. I mean, he had two winning seasons, and those were barely winning. They're both basically CIT years. One game last year in the CIT, but, you know, the talent, I think the feeling is the talent there should have had more wins than what they ended up with, which is always, I guess, traces back to the head coach, more so than the players. And then the attendance was really kind of dropping every year from that Keno Davis year. And this year it was the lowest yet. It was, I think, 3,900 per game, you know, which is just barely more than half of what the facility holds. And, of course, that if you take out the Creighton game, and you and I, there really was a lot of games where it was pretty empty in there. So I think those were the two biggest factors, just, you know, 5 years of, you know, being 9 games under 500 total, and then, you know, watching the attendance and the enthusiasm kind of wane for this team. They're, you know, just starting a fundraising campaign to build a practice facility. They're trying to raise $7 million. So obviously at that point you need people excited about your team to open up their wallets. So I'm sure that was a factor as well.
Yeah, Mark, I was over there for the St. Mary's game and watched the game with you, and that was one of the comments I said was, wow, I was just shocked at the small crowd that there was there. But, you know, you talked about his recruiting and players, and I think that was probably one thing that people commented to me about was the development of the players. It didn't seem like they improved a lot from year to year. It's unfair to just throw it on one guy, but this is the most recent guy I could think of, and probably two guys actually on the team now, Seth Van Deest and Ben Simon. Ben Simon did not take another step forward this year and so forth.
Correct. Yep. Yeah, that's true, and obviously the transfer of probably his best recruit, Ravonte Rice, didn't help either, but you're right. I don't know if there's a lot of guys you could point to and say, boy, from year one to year four, they just got better every single year. Maybe Jordan Clark, but he was only here 3 years and was hurt for most of that time. But there was really no, like, shining. I'm not sure what the Mark Phelps success, you know, story would be here if you just look at one player that he kind of took under his wing and made them a much better player.
Yeah, and I go back.
Simon took a big leap from, like, go ahead.
No, I go back to when he took over for Keno Davis, too. I mean, Young was as good a player there was in the league, and he seemed to regress, you know.
Yeah, I think, and part of it was that obviously they lost three starters, so he became, and I think Simon, too, this year without Rice, became much more of the focal point of every team that played them, and he just couldn't seem to get them, you know, as many open looks. And I think, you know, Josh Young was as good a player as Drake will ever have. I mean, just really talented, a great kid. And you're right, he his last 2 years weren't never necessarily better than his sophomore year. I mean, he was still a good player, but he never, you're right, took that leap or next step. And I think that's, you know, some people blame Phelps for that as well.
Mark, was this a foregone conclusion, or could he have saved his job? And I hearken back to the last game of the season. Illinois State had lost. Drake was in a position with a win to avoid Thursday night, and Drake loses at home to Southern Illinois, the 10th place team. And to me, that if something sealed his fate in my own mind, it was, God, this was the opportunity to, you know, you could say improvement, because in 5 years, he never got out of Thursday night. And, you know, this, I guess on some, you know, weird level, you could have said, oh, progress, we're not on Thursday night. It was this a foregone conclusion, or could he have done anything to save his job?
That's a really good question. I mean, I know Sandy said they had conversations throughout the year, so he was certainly aware of what he needed to do, I think, in terms of, you know, win-loss record and attendance to help, you know, his cause. But, you know, if they win that last game and then win maybe the 3-6 game in St. Louis, now you're talking about a team that's eligible for the postseason. And so they're still here with more games to play right now, which means I can't see them firing them under those circumstances if they're a 500 team or one game above 500, like, you know, like Bradley. So I think you're probably right. There probably was, you know, one more chance. Southern Illinois was a bad loss at home on, you know, senior night with Dolph Pulliam, the Drake broadcasting legend, his farewell. It's just, and not a very big cross of that one either, actually, now that I think about it. So, you know, that was a very dispiriting. And then to, you know, if you get the one win in St. Louis, is fine. But then, you know, the next day they're just, you know, you're not going to be the number one seed coming off a game the night before, obviously, in the Valley Tournament. So that, you know, if they could have avoided that 8-9 game, and gotten to Friday, I think, you know, we might not be having this conversation at all, right?
We're talking with Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register. So let's look ahead. Who are some of the candidates that you would say would be up for the job? And what did the athletic director say about the candidates that she would like to have?
Yeah, she just said they're going to start a national search immediately, which is what they always say. Didn't indicate that she has anybody in mind already, although she almost certainly does. She did say that obviously they want somebody with, you know, integrity and high character and somebody that can develop players, which I thought was an interesting thing for her to mention specifically. Drake, obviously you have to have high academic standards. Everybody knows that here. And she prefers somebody with previous head coaching experience, but said that could be at the high school level, which is what Mark Phelps had, his only head coaching experience before this was at the high school level. But I don't think that's necessarily a disqualifier if she finds an assistant, like a Darian DeVries that she really likes. So I'm going to have a list of 10 names in the paper tomorrow, all of which will probably not be the person that gets hired, but it's just kind of fun to make lists right now. And, you know, another, I think, a hot name that I'm hearing is former Drake assistant Kareem Richardson, who is now an assistant at Louisville and is apparently the front runner for the Missouri-Kansas City job. But if you can hold them off for a few days and if Drake wants him, I think he's certainly a candidate here. And there are many. I mean, when she hired Phelps, that came out of nowhere for almost everybody up here. I don't think anybody really knew who he was, and he wasn't on anybody's list that I know of. So she could certainly go out and tap somebody that we just don't even know, you know, in Des Moines, Iowa yet either.
And Mark, one of the names that I heard floated was Nick Nurse, who used to, you know, coach the Iowa Energy, and he had actually accepted a position at Iowa State with McDermott prior to McDermott taking the Creighton job. Is that a name you've heard bandied about at all?
Yeah, in fact, not only have I heard it, I've talked to Nick. I covered the Iowa Energy here for several years, and I know Nick pretty well. And yeah, I don't know if he's on Sandy's radar, but I think he definitely would love that job, and he is a terrific X's and O's coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would need recruiting help because he hasn't been a college coach at the Division I level ever.
Hey, Phelps could be the recruiter.
Iowa State. or Stan Johnson or somebody. Yeah, I don't know. That'd probably be a little bit of a load of the ego for Mr. Phelps to pay here as a recruiter and take a pay cut. But yeah, that's definitely what he needs, that type of person. But he is very good, and yes, I think he definitely would like to be a candidate.
Do you think Mark would end up back with Herb Sendek somewhere back in Arizona State? Or
I don't know if Herb Sendek is going to be back in Arizona State. Might be the first question, but certainly they know each other very well. They worked together for 14 years, and I would think that's a good bond for him. But I think a lot of teams, programs would probably want somebody. I mean, he did bring in a lot of talent, you know, there and here. He is a proven recruiter, and those are, you know, that is a commodity. So I don't think he'll have a problem, you know, finding another job. Hopefully, whatever severance they gave him is enough to take a year off if he needs to. But I would expect him back on a bench very shortly.
Hey, Mark, earlier we were talking with Todd Golden of the Terre Haute Tribune-Star, and we were talking a little bit about the possibility of Creighton leaving the Valley. Like your thoughts about that, and what if they did leave? Who would be a replacement you would think would be a fit in the Valley footprint?
Yeah, I think I don't think there is a replacement, honestly, that's nearly as attractive as Creighton. And the one thing I've been telling people here, and you guys know this too, that would be, I think, a particularly big blow for both Drake and you and I, because that is their biggest rival year in and year out. I mean, if you look at those, when I cover those games, those are the biggest crowds those schools get. So it's not just losing a Valley school and a big one and a good one. It's losing maybe the one that brings in the most fans for you and the most passion right now. So I think that's going to be really telling. You've heard all the same names I've heard, and, you know, it goes all the way from Denver to Belmont and Valpo and the Dakotas. I mean, but none of those, do any of those excite you, such as Creighton? I don't know why they would. Maybe they'll add three teams, and, you know, the Valley will survive, but I just don't see it being the same. And personally and selfishly, I would just really hate to see Creighton go. It's a really good angle for us in Iowa, because half your team is from Iowa. So that was a joke.
In looking at what did you just your overall thoughts about the tournament down in St. Louis?
Oh, that's always a great event. I unfortunately, with my team getting bounced Friday, I came back Saturday after the semifinals, both of which were not particularly competitive, and I missed that great championship game. But, you know, that's something I look forward to every year, probably more than anything else that I cover. It's such a well-run event and so many good teams and players and so many good angles there, and a lot of passion, especially, of course, your fans bring a lot of that. It was a great event, just like always, and it still will be, but I think if Creighton leaves, it's just, in the short term, will definitely not be the same.
Yeah, you'd have to worry, with the number of Creighton fans that were there this year, you'd have to worry somewhat about attendance next year.
Correct. I mean, it really depends upon, I mean, obviously, if Wichita is good, they're going to bring their people. And then if you can get like a Southern Illinois back to the top of the league, which could happen. They're a young team on the rise. Missouri State is not too far away. It really depends on who's the top two or three teams in the Valley next year at the end of the regular season and how excited their fans are. But you're right. I don't see it matching, you know, this year in attendance under any circumstances.
And what do you think?
I just hope they can get 75% of that or 80% of that.
Sorry to interrupt you there. What do you think about McDermott? Right. Do you think he'll return to Creighton next year? Doug, that is. Doug, that is, yes.
I hope for your sake the coach is back. But, I don't think so. No, I think he's gone. I think he would be foolish not to go. I mean, everything I've seen is that he'll probably be a first-round pick coming off a All-American season. I don't know how he improves his stock with one more year in college, unless you guys maybe were in the Big East, maybe a little better competition. But I personally think that he's going to make the jump and that he probably should.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us, not only this show, but all season long. It's been great having you on. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register. All right. Up next, Chris and I are going to wrap up the show and talk about some of this postseason action going on here in the Valley. on the NBC Hoop Show, sponsored by Complete Nutrition. All right, welcome back to the NBC Hoop Show, sponsored by Complete Nutrition. I want to thank our guests today, Todd Golden and Mark Emmert. They've been terrific all season. They've had some great guests.
Oh, yeah. Who's your favorite guest?
Oh, don't want to pick one. They've all been great. You know who I enjoyed down at the Valley Tournament, though? Jim Benson.
Okay.
What a great sense of humor that guy has. Yeah. He's very funny. Very funny.
I really like talking to Colt Ryan. I really like talking to Greg Marshall.
Yes.
It was great to have Coach Marshall.
I got to tell a little story here. I was at the press conferences Thursday for the top six teams had press conferences. And I was in there and asked Coach Marshall a question. And if you're not familiar, the people in the media are familiar. Once they leave the press conference, they kind of go out a different door than you exit. And you kind of, if the timing's right, you kind of run into one another as you're leaving. And Coach Marshall was standing there with two players, Demetric Williams and Clay Anthony Early. And as I watched by, as a coach was down the hallway a little bit, and I'm walking toward him, and he's kind of looking at me like,
Well, you look funny. So.
Yeah, right. And I get closer, and he looks, and I said, "Hi, Coach." And he goes, "Hi, how are you?" And I go, I'm Tim from the NBC Hoop Show. And he goes, "You know, when you ask the question, I recognize your voice immediately."
Wow. What a guy.
Yeah, it was very, very cordial, very nice. And we had a nice little discussion there. And we want to thank, by the way, this is our last show, so we got a lot of things to do here. But we want to thank everybody at the Valley. Too.
Oh, man.
Doug Elgin. Mike Kern has been just out of this world.
Right. Mike Kern, yeah, he would be the one I would say that we've worked with pretty closely throughout the process before when we were just kind of pitching the idea. And Brandon Miller
of NBC Properties as well.
Yes, thanks so much to those guys. It's been really helpful.
Mike has just been the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, talking about postseason, we've got one team that's already like got an opponent and selling tickets, and that's the Bradley Braves.
Right.
They're going to play on Wednesday night in the Renaissance Coliseum, which... This is the atmosphere they love.
Yeah, a couple thousand fans.
And they're going to play Green Bay. Now, I don't know what Green Bay draws, but Green Bay has a nice, beautiful arena where they play in, which is right across the street from Lambeau Field.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they just built a new arena about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and it's a beautiful new arena.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they wouldn't put in a bid to play at home.
Well, schools like Bradley and some of the teams that won't be in the top tournament, obviously Bradley among them, it's just such a great opportunity to get those young players more experience and tournament atmosphere, and so hopefully some of those teams can build off of that. The big picture is Creighton and Wichita State, and where they get seated here on Sunday is of great interest to us.
Coach McDermott points to that CIT
CBI.
Yeah, get them all mixed up. When they did the series with Oregon, they played a lot of games, they got a lot of practices.
Right.
And he points to that as being a springboard for their two seasons this year, the younger players got a lot of experience. And so it was nice for all schools. I would think, like I said, the NIT field's getting limited because some of these conference champions have lost. But with 16 bids, I would think we'd get two in there. Now, which two they're going to be, I don't know.
Indiana State, I think, has the best
resume.
Right.
They kind of faded toward the end. Northern Iowa was kind of coming on at the end. So I would think those two, and the fact that Northern Iowa plays, Iowa every year and has some nice non-conference games, and they played that big tournament.
Right, their strength of schedule. Their computer numbers are really good, and unfortunately they didn't win many of those games. But
I would think maybe those two. I would think certainly if they get the CBI or CIT, I would think Illinois State would be one of the favorites to win that.
They have the potential. So where do you have the NCAA team seated, Tim? Where do you think Creighton is?
I do bracketology.
Big bracketology geek here.
And I have Creighton in it as a 7 seed right now. Their numbers actually, in some respects, bode them as a 6.
Okay.
But I think it's tough to put them ahead of, say, UCLA.
Okay.
It's tough to put them ahead of a Wisconsin, even though they beat Wisconsin. But Wisconsin just has so many more quality wins. That's the only thing. If you were going to look at one thing on Creighton's, their strength of schedule's fine. It's in the mid-40s, 50s, 60s. That's fine. They don't have any top 25 wins.
Okay.
That's what kills them. They don't have any losses either, but they didn't play anybody. They're like 4-3 in the next tier, and that's fine. And they don't have a lot of bad losses.
Right.
They
bad losses.
They did not play that many teams in the over 200 category, which the committee sometimes kind of just looks at those games and kind of tosses them out and says, okay, what would you have done if you hadn't played those games? You know, what would your record be? And so in a lot of respects, and the computers, Sagarin, Ken Palm, they love Creighton. So does ESPN's new BPI, which I'm not a huge fan of.
No, I don't like that at all.
But they all love Creighton. They're all in the teens. So and the committee chairman did say that he does look at the Ken Palm and Sagarin. So they have a shot to maybe get that six. But I think seven's about where they'd be. And it would be nice if it worked out for Creighton. They could, if Kansas is a two, they could get in the Kansas City pod, which would be very nice.
Yeah, and
that could happen to Wichita as well,
absolutely.
Because Wichita could be a 10 seed. Now, obviously, Creighton and Wichita wouldn't play each other. It would be if one or the other got switched, but that could happen.
To have one of those Valley teams playing in Kansas City would be fantastic.
Now, Wichita could also be a 9, so they could be in that
one. Do you think they'll be that high? I mean, in my head, and again, you've mapped it out, I haven't, but in my head, I see Wichita being more of a 10, maybe even an 11 seed.
It's
right
tough
now.
Because there's so many teams so bunched together,
right,
in that 12 or 13, 14 teams all bunched together in there. I think the fact that they did beat a Southern Miss who's somewhat on
VCU,
the bubble.
At VCU.
Yes, that's a huge win for them. They played Tennessee, lost a close game. So they did play somewhat of a competitive schedule, beat Creighton. So, yeah, 10, 11. I mean, it's a great year for Wichita to be in this because in a lot of years, because the bubble's so weak, a lot of years they would be squarely on the bubble right now.
Yeah.
And this year, I think they're pushed into the field just because, boy, there's a lot of the bubble teams have been losing a lot of games.
And being an 11 isn't bad. I mean, I'd almost rather be an 11 than a 10.
11 and 6 is, you know.
Right. An 11 or a 6 would be ideal for either of those
teams.
You're
not playing a powerhouse.
Correct.
And you've got a great chance to win. And then if you win that game, if you get like one of the weaker threes.
Right.
Or, you know, hey, now that, and what people don't realize either is now that the field has expanded, those 1-16 games, they're not really true. Or like the 2-15s is a better example. They're not really true 2-15s. They're more like 2-14s in some cases. And instead of 3-14, they're almost like 3-13s in the old days. Thinking in the old days.
Because you have more teams.
So I think we're going to see more and more of those upsets. You know, last year we saw 2-15s upsets. I think you're going to see more of that.
So last year Creighton defeated Alabama. Creighton was an 8.
Right.
So if we're saying Creighton's going to be a 7, do you think they'll get a first-round win? Let's say they're playing Villanova.
I would
think
they'd be favored. Yeah, I would like any of their matchups in the 10.
Okay.
I think the 2 seeds are not world beaters as we've seen in some years past. You know, I've seen Georgetown several times where I thought Georgetown didn't look very good.
Well, yeah.
They're probably going to be a 2.
Miami, Florida is going to be a 2, and they're playing like...
But Miami, Florida is...
Indiana State beat them, I know.
More athletes, and that could be a tougher matchup. Kansas, you know, at times looks great, at times doesn't.
Lose to TCU.
You know, right. I don't think the Michigans and Michigan States have looked all that great lately. So there's some possibilities there.
Every team is beatable.
Yeah.
In Wichita State, what do you think? If they're of 10 or an 11, you think they can get a first round game?
Same thing. Wichita State, the big thing is they've got to really watch those scoring droughts.
Yeah.
If they get scoring droughts...
Having Ron Baker back helps.
Yes, a lot.
And Armstead was a stud this weekend.
If they get scoring droughts, that's what kills them. They play good enough defense to beat anybody.
They do. And they rebound
and
like
rebound,
crazy.
Obviously. But they've got to just guard against the scoring droughts. And it's almost opposite for Creighton. So, but it's going to be fun.
Oh, I cannot
next weekend,
wait.
Looking ahead, March Madness is always great. And, hey, we just got to thank our listeners. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was great meeting people in St. Louis.
Yeah, it was. Thanks for all the kind words, all the emails we've been getting over the course of the season. Really appreciate it. We hope we can do this again next year. So thank you so very much. Thanks to our fine affiliates who carried the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope we get on more channels next year.
Thanks.
So thank you very much. And this has been the MVC Hoop Show, sponsored by Complete Nutrition.
This has been the MVC Hoop Show, sponsored by Complete Nutrition.
Are you a man? Man Corps. It's the start of a new year. Did you gain weight? Is your energy gone? Ask your lady friend what she thinks of your sex drive these days. It's not your fault. For guys, testosterone and growth hormones decrease with age. If you're a guy over 30, it's time to feel like a man again.
The new ManCore found only at Complete Nutrition will replenish natural testosterone levels and that healthy sex drive that comes with being a man.
ManCore.
ManCore is the tool every guy needs this year to get back that edge. So if you want to regain that lean build, youthful energy, and healthy sex drive you had when you were young and peaking physically, get to Complete Nutrition today and man up with ManCore.
Exclusive products and consultation to help you look better, feel better, and perform better. Visit CompleteNutrition.com for a store near you.